Almighty God, you are hidden, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding, so that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to know the things that pertain to life and holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scripture today is from Micah, the 5th chapter, the first 6 verses. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid upon us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. They shall rule the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod with the drawn sword. They shall rescue us from the Assyrians if they come into our land or tread within our borders. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord.
Those words that Darlene read from the prophet Micah, those may be the most famous words in all of Scripture, certainly from the Hebrew prophets, in praise of a small town, in particular, that little town of Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel. Well, when Darlene was preparing for the scripture reading, Darlene does her homework, and she wanted to know, why is this reference to Ephrathah? What's that about, Bethlehem, Ephrathah? And it's a question that many perceptive readers have asked, why that addition? And we think that Ephrathah was a way to distinguish Bethlehem. You see, Ephrathah was something like referring to the larger county or area within which Bethlehem was located, Bethlehem being a smaller village. In Micah's time, there was a Bethlehem in Zebulun, located some 7 miles northwest of Nazareth. Bethlehem Ephrathah, on the other hand, refers to the Bethlehem of Judea, located some 5 miles south of Jerusalem. You would never need to make such a distinction if you were referring to Jerusalem. You wouldn't say, oh, that Jerusalem in this particular region, there's only one Jerusalem, only one great Mount Zion, one city on a hill, one capital of ancient Judah. But with regard to Bethlehem, when it's a smaller village, there you needed to be a little more precise. People might ask, well, which Bethlehem? And Bethlehem? Jill, Lucy, and I traveled around Scotland in 2016, and we were often asked where we were from. And if we just said Pasadena, most wouldn't know where that was. Or if they Googled it, they might think Pasadena, Texas. And so we'd say Pasadena in Los Angeles. Or for shorthand, we'd just say Los Angeles, and that would give them some sense of where we lived. They could get a picture of it that way. Bethlehem was so small and seemingly insignificant, it doesn't even appear in the list of 46 cities of the tribe of Judah that are listed in the book of Joshua, chapter 13. So the prophet Micah feels compelled to mention not only Bethlehem, but Bethlehem of Ephrathah. And some careful readers, careful listeners, would hear more in that reference to Bethlehem Ephrathah. They might not place it just geographically in their minds, but they would connect it with the story of a shepherd boy, the one we read about in 1 Samuel. They would remember David once called Bethlehem his home. And by referring to Bethlehem Ephrathah, to David's Bethlehem, the prophet Micah is pointing to a great theme that we see often in Scripture and particularly in King David's story. And that is that great things, great people can come from small places. God can do great things through small instruments. You remember that when the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's home to select the next king of ancient Israel, David wasn't even at home. He was out tending the sheep. The assumption was that Samuel would certainly choose one of the older of Jesse's sons, presumably taller, further along in life and development. But no, you remember Samuel chose the youngest son, that God had selected David to do great things. That story of God choosing the smallest through which to do wonderful things, the story of God raising up King David to be a great leader, that's the kind of dynamic we hear in this reference in the prophet Micah to the little town Bethlehem Ephrathah, that not only speaks of a ruler to come, but in that reference points back to great King David who came from that small little town of Bethlehem. A song in praise of a small town. That's what we have in these verses from the prophet Micah. It's a proud statement that God is at work in small towns like Bethlehem in Micah's time or places like Seymour in our time. Now, when I say Seymour, have you ever heard of it? Seymour, you know. Now, you might wonder, Seymour, is that in Texas, Missouri, Wisconsin, or another state? All of those states have a Seymour. There's even a Seymour in Victoria, Australia. And with its population of just 17,000, while technically a city, most today would call the Seymour I'm thinking of a small town. So let me say it's a Seymour in Jackson County. Does that help? Seymour, Jackson County. I bet if I mentioned the state, Indiana, you might begin to at least place it geographically. But here is Seymour, Indiana's real claim to fame, this small town or city, if you want to call it that, of some 17,000. They can claim that their town was the inspiration for a song by John Cougar Mellencamp. He wrote, back in the mid-80s, a song aptly called Small Town, a love letter to his hometown of Seymour, Indiana. He wrote it back in 1985 for the album Scarecrow, and if you were alive in the late 80s, you couldn't turn on the radio and hear again and again and again, I was born in a small town. Small Town actually shows up every 12 seconds in that song. You can never forget, it's about a small town. But when he's interviewed about that song, Mellencamp reveals there was also a political tension to that song in the album on which you'll find it, Scarecrow. That same year that Small Town was written, 1985, we know that Mellencamp was involved along with Neil Young and others in putting together Farm Aid, which was a big concert in Champaign, Illinois. Farm Aid was patterned after Live Aid, which also took place in the mid-80s. Live Aid was to raise awareness and to raise funds to combat a famine in Ethiopia and offer relief there. Farm Aid, according to Mellencamp and others who put it on, was about getting aid to families in the United States, particularly farming families that were struggling and were negatively impacted by economic policies in that time that favored large corporate farms. That's what Mellencamp said was part of his inspiration in writing that song, Small Town. He and others were concerned small towns, remote villages, these areas outside the big cities were getting forgotten and were in fact getting hurt by policies and people in those cities. A small town singer challenging the assumption that the city was where all the great stuff happened. That's what filled the airwaves in the mid-80s, and that's the kind of sentiment that we get in those words that Darlene read from the prophet Micah, the words that inspired that great carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The prophet Micah could sing of the little town of Bethlehem, for he was from a small town himself. He could sing, "I was born in a small town." The prophet Micah, unlike Isaiah, who hailed from Jerusalem itself, Micah, we read, was from Moresheth. And Moresheth was a small town in southwest Judah, out on the outskirts of Judah. In fact, it was located right on the border between Judah and territory of the Philistines. It was truly out in the boondocks or in the outskirts. And likely because of his small-town origins, Micah was keenly sensitive to the plight that small-town folks faced. And so he's known for his scathing critique of priests and rulers and the rich who lived in cities like Jerusalem. We read in the prophet Micah these words, "Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price. Its prophets give oracles for money, yet they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Surely the Lord is with us, no harm shall come upon us.'" That critique is from Micah. This small town prophet was proclaiming, don't forget the people in places like Moresheth, the people in places like Bethlehem. Don't neglect justice for them. And just watch, the prophet notes, as God does great things in those small places, in people from those small places. God did that with David, and God will do that in the future, bringing down, we read, even mighty empires like Assyria through someone from Hicksville. Then in the New Testament, we read about another small-town prophet born in Bethlehem who went on to do great things. Jesus could sing, "I was born in a small town." He was from Bethlehem. We read of how he was raised in Nazareth, a town that Nathanael wonders later, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Making us think that could be revealing a kind of anti-rural bias. Like King David before him, this Jesus would hail from Bethlehem and go on to be a great king, the King of Kings, we proclaim. We read of how this small town carpenter turned teacher and healer would often use farming and shepherding and fishing metaphors and images in his stories, showing you the kind of people that he associated himself with, small town folks who worked the land and fished the local waters. And when Jesus finally did visit the big city of Jerusalem, you remember what it was for, that he came in on a donkey and then went to the temple. And there he did what prophets like Micah before him had done, and challenged the rich, challenged the priests of his time for greed and for practices that were preying upon the poor. You remember how Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. And that reminds us of prophets, of Micah and his critiques of those who profited on poor folks, on those especially in the outskirts in places like Bethlehem. From little Bethlehem of Ephrathah, kings would arise, David, and then the son of David, the one we call Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our Savior's birth in Bethlehem, it upends our assumption that God must be at work somewhere bigger, richer, higher, and far more important than where I stand, where I live, than the little lives, spaces, and towns that we occupy, or that the poor of our time especially occupy and call home. To this false assumption that God is at work somewhere else, someone higher and mightier, our Savior reminds us, like Micah of old, great things can come from small places. And maybe, just maybe, ordinary people of this world, those who might feel ignored, lost, or forgotten, will hear the good news of the gospel once again. God came in Jesus Christ to enter this world, to enter our little towns and our little communities and our little and seemingly insignificant lives and fill them with the stuff of heaven. God came in Christ that justice might roll down like waters, that the sinner might know salvation, that the sick might find healing, and that the soul, the lonely, forgotten soul, might finally know its worth. The soul would know its worth. Great things can come through the smallest of vessels, in the smallest of places, through the smallest and most insignificant of people. What struck Philip Brooks most upon his visit to that little town of Bethlehem back in 1865, what inspired him to write the famous ode to the small town, O Little Town of Bethlehem? I suspect it was seeing firsthand how the place of God's coming was not some big city, not some space full of impressive monuments like the Jerusalem Temple. God came, Brooks realized, to a little town, a place that Brooks had to travel 2 hours by horseback back in 1865 just to visit. Brooks himself, you may know, was a city boy. He was born in Boston, and he would go on to serve at a big steeple church in that city. At the time he took this trip that his church provided for him, this trip to visit the Holy Land and to go himself to Bethlehem, he was serving at a big city church in Philadelphia. And I don't think it's any accident that out in Bethlehem, Brooks was struck by the simplicity of the fields, by this little church where they praised God on through the night until 3 a.m., The church in Bethlehem was not some immense and impressive structure. It was small, and certainly the little cave where he saw shepherds out in a field in Bethlehem was not something that would impress you upon sight, but he was struck as a city person that out in the fields there was where God came in Jesus Christ to be with a people. God would come, Brooks realized, there. And so God could come to anyone's life, to the most ordinary of places and circumstances, and fill them with the stuff of heaven. I love that picture of a big city preacher serving a high steeple church, discovering, wait, God can be involved in these communities off the beaten track, out in the fields, out in a little church, in a little town of Bethlehem. And there he was moved by the praise of God and the stars in the sky. Well, friends, in pandemic days when each one of us can think God must be at work somewhere other than where I am, than where we are, that the stuff of love and life and flourishing, that must be taking place somewhere other than this place where I stand, this place I call my home, this place we call this little church of Knox. Remember, the God who came to be with us, all of us, especially the poor and suffering in that little town of Bethlehem. Remember the one we call Emmanuel, God with us, all of us. And open your home, open your hearts to be filled by that God that you might know right where you are, the stuff of heaven. Open your life to God's direction that he may use you for God's just and merciful and loving purposes. And may our hearts speak the words that we'll now sing from that great hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O come to us, abide with us. Here in our little lives, here in this little church, in this little town, in this little city of Pasadena, one small part of this big world, remember God came to us in Christ and can fill our hearts, our lives, our church this day with the stuff of heaven. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.